This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Did you go to that thing in CineSpace, that Transformers the movie thing?
I didn't, but I heard about it.
Damn. Hell yeah, I just wasn't in town. I wanted to go bad.
Well, again, interest in Transformers, it's very...
Just, it would have been a cool crowd.
Yeah,
you know?
I think that it would have appreciated you being there.
Well, yeah, maybe. Or not.
So, before we get into the service, like, we talk about seeing the footage.
Footage is nuts.
The new Yahoo trailer that posted?
It's nuts. It's just nuts.
Awesome, thank you.
It's nuts. How are you? Yeah, it's crazy. Anyway, yeah. John, those are some slick pants, buddy.
I could have chosen this.
But you want to be friendly with me.
No, it's just, I'm just being professional.
Okay.
I know, I'm doing the Hawaiian thing, man.
I know, I'm a loser. I didn't pack well.
For you guys, I mean, going into the studio and doing this, I mean, you obviously didn't get a chance to, like, come out here and do any surfing or anything, but it was kind of a different sort of experience, I would imagine, because you did get to go in the studio with some of the other actors and do some of your lines and things like that,
yeah.
which is different. Can you talk a little bit about that and perhaps how it might be different just going in solo?
Well, for me, I've never had a normal... I did one voice on another movie, Monster House, and even then, I've never done a normal voiceover because that was all motion capture. So that was like shooting a film. You know, we had props and everything. And this was the closest because we, you know, we had the little music stand mm-hmm. with our dialogue and stuff. But it was kind of in a big open room because, and I saw a lot of the footage. I mean, for me, I only had one scene with that we did it. I mean, a couple with Cheyenne, then one with Zoe, and yeah, it was kind of cool and different because it was. Kind of, it was interactive. Sometimes we'd, you know, actually wrestle or move around, and so that helped a lot.
The only other cartoon I've done was this Nausicaa translation, and so you got to stick to script a lot of the time. And when you have a lot of the actors in the room, you just get to ad lib, and Chris and Ash would encourage it because it's this reality show vibe. So the cadence is different. It's not like the ba-dun-dunch joke. It's more Spinal Tappy. So there's these little intricate moments that you get when you have the other actors there, or you know, noises that you wouldn't write down on a piece of paper, scripted form. So it was great that we were encouraged to do it, and that Sony let them encourage us to do it. So we were in a really good environment for something like this.
How did you give full body performances with just your voice?
Well, when you're doing, you know, when you're in a scene, and you know, there's some kind of action laid out, and you're kind of doing it along, even though you know the camera's not going to see any of this. I don't know if they showed it to the animators. Sometimes they watch it, but it just helps you get into your voice. It kind of shows through your voice when you're like pushing each other. There's a couple scenes where we're like kind of pushing each other and wrestling a little bit, and I think it kind of plays through your voice, even though you know you don't ultimately see us. You see a chicken and a penguin.
What?
Well, I'm a huge animated film fan. Period. Just the especially in the last 10 years, animation has completely changed, and I've always been a big fan. And it's always been like it's not even the actor thing. You become something else. I don't know what the you're talking about, like the myth behind being in something like this. Yeah, yeah. Well, for me, I was going through puberty when we were making it, so that was tough.
That was really weird.
That was really strange.
Tweak his voice.
It was very strange.
What animated characters were you a fan of?
Toy Story. Toy Story was, that's one of my favorite films, not even just animation. We get people involved from that, so that was reassuring. But I guess you just go into it like you would in any other film. It's not like your performance changes because you're in animation. Because if that were to happen, I don't know. It'd be very strange for me.
Can you talk about what makes your character so great? What makes Cody a great character? What makes Chicken a great character?
I don't know if he's a great character.
Yeah, I don't know about that either.
Yeah.
What makes him endearing? What makes him endearing?
Cody's just you know, Cody wants to be a winner, and he comes from a family of people who aren't encouraging him to follow his dreams, so he's the underdog, and he's very normal, and he's not. We're not playing up a lot of the penguin thing. He's very human, and oftentimes in animation, you don't get that. You don't get the reality in the character. Sometimes it's just too shticky, you know. Banana peels slip. Ah, ha ha ha. And in a movie like this, you really get to find the thread of the, you know, the soul of the character, and get to explore a bunch of stuff you wouldn't normally have in animation, especially like the. You know, the fact that he doesn't have a father. It's pretty dramatic for an animation. So stuff like that was fun, you know, jumping around from joking with John and having all those laughs and then going into this romance with Zoe and then going into the father-son thing with Jeff. It was a lot of fun for me, just as a performer, period.
What?
You got to talk to other penguins. You got to get into the mind of a penguin. We had a lot of great penguin actors who had come off of Meet the Penguins and had come onto our set, who were like some of the best in the business. They're very prima donna types, though.
I didn't meet them. I worked with chickens.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Did you share any thoughts with Elijah Wood and Robin Williams about that?
Other penguin.
No.
Talking about that, I mean, what were your thoughts when you were working on this film and then this other penguin movie, animated film?
Well, we started before they started. Our movie's been 5 years in the making. It took them like 2 or 3 to make theirs. So have that. Take that.
They were way too easy.
Yeah.
This was, this is surfing. That's just penguins being penguins.
Cake.
And singing. Yeah, that's true, but...
Guys, did you? This movie is really all about keeping the joy in whatever it is you do, and not losing that. So, as you've acted since you were very young, have you lost the joy ever? I mean, do you lose it when something isn't a hit, or do you keep finding the joy in your work all the time?
I think if you have something that's not a hit, then you're like, okay, I got to try harder, you know. Or
you think it's you then?
You don't know. I mean, it could be a combination of anything. But still, you know, to me, it's not so much about whether a movie's a hit or not. It's if you enjoyed your own performance or if you buy it or you just... I mean, of course, and at least I would think with most actors, you know, you're going to be very critical of your own work and you're watching and you're like, okay, I don't know if this is going to be a big hit or not. You want it to be. Obviously, you want success, but you're just... I mean, whether... Even with the successful films, you know, you're still, you know, critical of like, okay, I can do this better, or all right, I can see how I could, you know, done a better job here.
Cheyenne, how about you? Are you still? You've been doing this since you were a little kid, though. Mm-hmm. So how about the joy for you? Do you find it in every?
Yeah, if I didn't enjoy it, I wouldn't be doing it. It's not like I'm forced to do this, or you know, financially I'm pretty stable. It's not like I'm, you know, in the last couple of movies hasn't been like financial gain major ways. I've been getting paid less and less. It seems like. But I've been enjoying
that
it more
sucks,
and more.
Dude.
I know, it sucks. My rate's dropping, plummeting.
Because this quote came off because, I mean, I know we hear a lot about, oh, we don't really have much control over what happens, but it's got to be pretty cool to disturb you as well as it does, and play the glory as well as it. You've got to feel a little bit different feeling like that.
I mean, yeah.
There's
what changed? What changed?
I love. I mean, it's the whole process of like, you know, shooting the film is really fun. I mean, it's all the pre-production. And of course, you're getting excited from when you read the script, and then you shoot it, and you have a lot of time. And then it's really just the waiting period. All right, let's see what happens when it comes out in theaters. And you want it to do well, and you see the preview, and you're excited. And whether or not it does well, it's just I love seeing the finished product. You know, I love having my own little private screening.
Glory was a big hit. That must have been kind of fun.
I mean, you know, it feels good. I don't know, like, what is fun about having a big hit? I mean, okay. It's not like you're playing, you know, jacks or anything. No, it's no, but it's it feels, yeah, of course, it feels great because you're like, all right, we did something right.
It's opened up.
Numbers coming in. You must have been a little bit.
Well, nobody really expected it to do, you know. So when it did really well and continued to do really well and the drop-offs weren't major and took Spider-Man to knock us out, it was like, wow, this is incredible. And good movies came out in our time, like Fracture came out, and I really liked that movie. But like sometimes it's not even about the quality of the film. It's just we hit a group of people that really wanted a movie like this at the time. So and your involvement in that, I mean, marketing is a whole other side to this that we're not really involved in directly. There's a science to it. It's a whole different thing.
Conversely, if Indiana Jones is not a big hit, I mean, it's not like nobody will expect it to be a hit, right?
Of course. Nobody expects anything from that film.
Shy.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, you watch Transformers with Hugo Weaving? Like, you watched, what was the last time you saw it?
I've seen pretty close to final. Mike is working on a couple more things, but we're done shooting, and they're getting down to the final voiceover stage, and Hugo is great in it. And again, like from a fan's point of view, Welker, his voice sounds different than it did. So I know all the fans are like, oh, Welker's not playing Megatron. You say no, but I know yes.
He's doing some of the other voices.
But Hugo's a great Megatron. It's different, but it's he's great.
Let me follow up with, have you looked in the mirror with the fedora on?
I don't think my character will be wearing a fedora.
No.
Well, now that they finally announced it before, when they were just talking about you for Indy, you had some very specific concerns about what you wanted the character to be. Are you happy with the character they've offered?
I still haven't read the script.
Well, how nice is it to be able to make those demands to Steven Spielberg?
Well, you don't make any demands to Steven Spielberg. You kind of just you say, oh, yeah? All right, great. That sounds like a good thing to me. And Lucas isn't involved as Spielberg with the actors. I mean, it's all Steven. But, yeah, I mean, I don't imagine that I'd be questioning anything he says. Of course, you have to find your voice as the artist. You're the tool, and you got to have some say. But I don't imagine that it's going to be very easy to say, you know, Steven, I don't think that's correct. I think I should do it this way. I don't know. We're still trying to figure it out. You know, we haven't gotten into any rehearsals. It's just been a lot of stunt rehearsals and a lot of weapons training and things like that.
What are
those
like?
Great.
Which one?
Can't.
And for both of you, you're obviously doing indie, but could you both talk about other projects you may have coming up?
I've got this movie, and Mama's Boy comes out, I believe, in November. For now, that's it.
Yeah. I'm in the same boat. You know all the projects that I'm involved in. It's just Transformers and Indy. And then
when do you start filming Indy, actually?
Probably late June, I would imagine.
God, is there any discussion at all about it moving
forward? No, not really. I mean, you know, we've never said no to it. I think it's just a timing thing, just seeing everybody else is involved in other projects, so... I mean, I wouldn't get your hopes up, but I'm not saying it would never happen. We've never said, oh, absolutely not. So, right now, no.
I know you do a lot of the big movies partly so that some of your smaller interest projects can have a better chance of getting funded. Are there some pet projects you're working on?
Sure.
You hope after maybe indeed, you'll have to
do? Yeah, there's a couple of them. None of them are fully developed to the point where I'd want to start telling you guys about it. But, yeah, there's you know, a handful of things that you start, especially when something like Disturbia happens. This is one of those things you think about. You go, oh, okay, your movie opened, and the industry will let you make a small little movie, so start coming up with ideas. It's just like you start brainstorming with your team, and people start finding books and other things and properties that you're involved in or life stories that you're really interested in.
Do you have expectations? I mean, a guy is recognizing things for a very good movie.
Thank you.
I saw it actually yesterday on my computer, and that looks excellent.
Thank you. No, because it felt like just as big an achievement to have that movie come out as it did for Disturbia. And the numbers didn't second, like John said. It's not, I mean, yes, it's great to have a financial hit, but I don't think Guide was ever, it was never planned for that to be a financial film. I mean, Disturbia, there's a specific, it's a whole different strategy, whereas we weren't, I mean, the fact that we got to make Guide was an achievement in itself. You know, it's not really a lot that you can... You can't really pitch that movie well to any audience other than the one that went to see it, which was a small, section of the populace. And that was what was intended. It was never intended to be, you know, Disturbia big.
I guess everybody's already asked you this, but have you surfed? Are you going to surf while you're here? Are you going to try to learn to surf, or do you already surf?
No, and no. I think. I've never surfed. I may try. I'm not saying I'm not interested in, but... I'm more about going under the water. I like to snorkel and scuba. So,
okay. How about you?
I've surfed, when I was, 13, and then I just stopped because work started and insurance won't let you. and we get out of here, we'll stop doing press around 5 p.m. or so. So by then the tide is not something you want to be involved in, or, you know, and there's really no surf out here. There's surf at Diamond Head, but...
Nothing but excuses here.
Yeah.
Have either of you seen the finished film yet, or are you waiting for the premiere?
I've seen the 80% version,
yeah, so
I haven't seen the ultimately finished film yet.
Me neither.
In the movie, Cody is really kind of impressed by Big Sid, but which one for you, I mean, who impressed you, either in this business or in life in general, is that figure that you want to emulate or that you were a kid, you want to emulate?
Well, Bridges is definitely one of them, so that helps.
I'd agree on that, too.
Yeah.
It was the one or one of them?
One of them. One of them.
What about Harrison Ford?
Harrison Ford's up there, too. Yeah, I mean, there's like, you know, a list of 10 or 20 that you're like, oh, man, if I ever get to meet these people, let alone work with them. But, yeah, they're both in that group. I don't know if I could pick one and go, boom, that's the guy. But, yeah, those Jeff was definitely that for me when we were working on it.
Can you talk a bit about what you took away from working with Jeff? I didn't work with him, but he did.
Yeah.
I met him. He's a great guy. Very cool.
Jeff is just really playful. He's like a 9-year-old with, you know, all the experience he has and the knowledge he has, but the imagination is that of a 9-year-old, and he'll just riff all day long. Doesn't care how it sounds or how it comes off, and he's very playful, you know, and you feel like you're in a sandbox, you know, and it never stops. It never, like, there's never a cutoff point. It's never a cut, and then he's off in his own world again. He just maintains it. There's a lot of joy that he brings to the table when he comes to work. And there's not a lot of excuses or complaints or anything.
You studied animation. Have you sort of devoted yourself fully to performing, or did you ever see yourself making an animated film from the other side?
Both, yeah. No, I've always been in love with animation. And getting involved with it on this side was never, you know, I never really expected it, but I was definitely kind of jumping into it, like, this is cool. I mean, when I remember when they asked me to do this role, I mean, that's one of the biggest reasons why I took it, because I loved the character designs and I loved how they were doing all the technology with the way, and it just kind of, the look of it looked really cool. And I was like, this looks like it'd be a cool project to be involved in. And but I definitely, you know, would love to, I'm still planning on getting involved in animation on the other spectrum, writing and directing and hopefully producing someday.
Features.
John, have you ever been as naive as your character? Because he thinks those guys are invited into their sauna and they're trying to eat him. I mean, have you ever been that?
Yes, that's happened to me before, where
yes.
I actually stumbled upon a camp of cannibals. It went from naivety to a modest innocence.
Well, you win
on purpose.
Surf, Bob. You win, so I mean, you know, it works. It's working for him. You know?
You just give it away. Oh, you guys have all probably seen. Yeah.
So, if it's not surfing, are either of you involved in any athletic activities?
Yeah, I like to ice skate now. Seriously, I do. That was my favorite part. I was learning ice skating. And a little bit of racquetball and tennis.
It's good sports.
Do you have any kind of sports?
I'm a season ticket holder at Dodger games. I go to every Dodger game I can go to. Every single one. And I've never been more athletic in my life. Just because the occupation is, you know, you have to.
You recently hosted Saturday Night Live. And John, I'm not sure if you
hosted. Oh, yeah.
Wait, can you guys talk about the experiences of hosting a live TV show? And also, Shai, you did a sketch called Sofa King. Which I thought was hysterical.
Yeah.
Can you talk about the sensors and having to work around
them? Yeah. You want to go first, Sean? Your picture, by the way, in the hallway is mesmerizing.
Which one is it?
It's the one where you're going like this.
Eating. Oh, okay.
It's over
the
shoulder.
It's pretty awesome. Yeah. No, I loved it. It was always, you know, a dream to kind of do. I watched the show growing up, and then, of course, when I got the call, it was kind of one of those things where I got really nervous. It was more when I got the call. Like, the week of, my nerves actually went down, surprisingly. It's, even the day of, like, I wasn't that nervous doing it, but all the build-up was the month and a half, you know, knowing I was going to do it. I was really nervous. But it turned out, it was a blast. I mean, it was really cool, and it goes by so fast. That's the weirdest part, because it's an hour and a half, and you're done, and like, oh, we're done? You're kind of happy, because you're like, okay, I can't screw up anymore. But yeah. But it was a lot of fun. It was, and it's a very lively show. I mean, there's a lot of energy, because, and it's so insane backstage. Yeah. So.
With the wig changing?
Yeah.
That's nuts.
That's probably the... They strip you down and you're like...
You still getting a rash right here?
No, I was pretty good.
Well, anyway. Mine is pretty much the same experience. And Sofa King was one of those things where Lauren was on the... He was like... We had a Mario Cantone skit that we didn't get to do. We had a lot of skits we didn't get to do. You plan like 12 and you only get to do like 8 or 9. And... that skit barely made it in, but I remember we were in the final meeting, which is crazy when you're in the final meeting with all, and Lauren was on the cuff about it, and he said to the writer, he's like, all right, fine, if the actors say Sof King instead of Sofa King, and you know, the people at the ratings board say, all right, fine, we're going to slap you with a you know, $100,000 fine, you're going to pay for it. And then the writer was sort of, okay, fine. And we wound up doing it, but it was like, for a second there, we weren't going to do the skit. Because he didn't want to wind up paying $100,000.
Last question.
Okay. Well, now you've done animated, you've done TV, you've done big budget movies, and you've done indie. What are your guys' preferences, and what's the difference between the challenges?
Wow. Big last question. you know, it's like each project is very similar in that, you know, you still kind of approach the characters the same way. My preferences. It's really different. I mean, of course I love independent because, you know, I mean, starting out you have complete control and you don't worry at all about, like, all right, you know, people may see this, people may not. So who cares? You just kind of give it all out. As opposed to, obviously, a studio movie that you know will be out. You know it will probably have this kind of an opening. So, but I don't know if I have a preference. It depends on whether what you're doing.
Yeah, it's all fun.
Come on, go a little farther.
It's all fun. I mean, there's again, you know, one summer you want to be an asshole. You want to be upset. You want to, you know, find those other things in you that you don't get to do sometimes in a comedy or in a studio film. Sometimes you want to be that surfacey guy. Sometimes you don't want to be that surfacey. It's human, you know. You're all a bunch of different... I mean, I'm kind of bipolar, so it just fluctuates, like, really strongly. I mean, it's all over the place.
But do you want to be a winner like Cody is? I mean, Cody is kind of geared to be a winner. Is that something that...
Yeah, I think that's in everybody. I think, yeah, that's probably my biggest flaw. That you always want to succeed. You never, you know, strive to fail.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Have fun.
Good to see you guys.
You too.
Enjoy
see
Hawaii.
You soon.